industry, the association, not other the agents of pension paper for pension of the pension fund. Now, in Site 7, we have been using the things that equality can solve our challenges without addressing equity fair. Wherein we find that when we started that's our energy and commerce on the sugar industry, we're sort of put on the same level with the commercial farmers and expected to thrive, and yet the issue of inequality hasn't been addressed. That's where the challenge is. We've been put into one pond where the sharks and the sardines are put into one pond. And what then happens is the sharks tend to then prey on the sardines. The challenge is posed actually has led to a challenge of a decline in the numbers of small scale farmers, emerging farmers. That being because they have difficulties of scale and challenges of being further from the mills. Actually, has caused small scale farmers to lose their businesses. If you look at the slide, the reality of numbers is that sugarcane farming in small scale growers and land reform, they are running at a loss. Not just from today, the drought being even the worst effect, but this comes from even before the drought. The reality is, small-scale farming and land reform farming is a different ball game with respect to challenges and the large-scale economic sector. So, if you look at the challenges that the small-scale farmers are really facing, it's more of the fact that their land tenure systems are different. Even with the emerging farmers, their tenure systems are different, and therefore it causes a lot of firstly access to the mills, because the mills were traditionally built in neighboring the commercial farmers' space. They are furthest from the mills. They've got to spend more money, but the payment system is equal. When the rate is set, they get the same rate of payment, which is already taking them out of the business. So, which is one of the things that we will pose as stuff that to ask for an intervention, that you can't have the beneficiation of the sugar industry spoiled. Cannot be of the same if you want to actually cap and arrest the inequality gap. Our quest for this bill, the challenges here we see, we believe as the organization SAFDA, are challenges that we've got to deal with ourselves. But it's good. I would like to express this. In the early 2000s, 50,000 black small-scale farmers existed in the industry. 50,000. And those are rural households which could provide for their families in the early 2000s. Currently, it has dropped, the number has dropped to below 20,000. When you see in 2013, we had about 20,500. Now it's gone to probably 15,000 because of the drought. This has been an ongoing trend which the industry has failed to arrest this. That is why then the push and the drive to form our own organization to fix our own problems, because our lot is dying. I think this we took too late to do. If you look at the wise words of our leader, Babuchi Albert Lutu, which in his own words said, we should have never allowed ourselves to be assimilated into the white structures that could never serve our needs, unquote. If you read into the other quote as well, it was clear that if we had not organized ourselves and revived the cause association, our lot would have continued to deteriorate. This was in 1962. The black farmers, the small-scale farmers, and the emerging farmers find themselves in the similar challenges even today. Because we allowed ourselves to be subsumed into a structure that was predominantly to actually address the needs of the commercial farmers of the time. Now, why SAFDA was formed, and this forming is important to actually put out there. We want to address our own needs, and we are not taking any credit from anyone, because the needs directly impact on us. We want to be the voice of the voiceless, the marginalized, and emerging black farmers in the sugar industry, as well as the entire agri sector. And we believe that without that structure, our farmers would not be able to break through the value chain opportunities within the agri sector. Currently, we have registered membership of 2,500 members, but we enjoy a membership-based support of about 15,000 currently in the sugar industry. So the blockage is. I think it is important that after we've indicated why we were formed, for this committee to understand that we have been battling, fighting with the sugar industry to allow us to participate, but the appropriate measures that they've put in place to make sure that we cannot participate. The picture behind in front of you in slide 13, ladies and gentlemen, just shows how the system works currently. But after the formation of SAFTA, we've been disallowed through DTI, through the act that the DTI has a control of. And we are saying that we are not saying SAFTA should be the only one allowed to participate, but any other organization that feels and realizes that their needs are of unique nature and they would like to address them themselves should be allowed to participate in the growers association. If you look at it, there it's clear that we say the growing sector, we should allow a participation of more than one association so that that letters be addressed and participate in the sugar industry. As we peruse now to the next section, this we've realized.
I did hear you saying about the sugar, you know, the South African Sugar Association, etc.
Yes.
And then you referred to two other organizations, the Millers Association, which of course you would not directly be involved with. And your involvement should be with the Growers Association. And you say that there's a blockage there. Could you repeat that?
Yes, Madam Chair. It's unfortunate that this is what we're experiencing after 20 years of our democracy. There's a right enshrined in the Constitution of freedom of association, but the sugar industry doesn't operate like that. They put in their subordinate legislation that they only cited one organization that can represent growers in the sugar industry, which is South African Cane Growers Association. We are saying that needs change. That needs to be changed. That we cannot only allow one association to represent farmers in the sugar industry. We are saying there should be a federation of growers associations that can actually participate and share you know, their space in that. Yes. Madam Chair, I will put this forward to the committee that there are just two sections in the regulatory framework of the sugar industry. That is in your sugar industry agreement and your SAFTA constitution. The section one acts of the sugar industry agreement, the Growers Association in South African Cane Growers Association, Incorporated Association for Cane. There they've just cited one association and it makes it difficult, it makes it impossible for any other association to participate, which is cited on the sugar industry agreement. And also the South African Sugar Association constitution itself only cites the Millers Association and the Cane Growers Association. Therefore, disallowing any other participation of another growers association. This, though, we've picked up that those regulations, the minister has the right, there's a prerogative.
Yes.
These are the prerogative of the minister. You can actually change this and gazette that so that it allows for doing only the blockage. So that is why today we are here to give the eye to say, help us here. We've exhausted all forms of for help, and this you'll see in our slide 16. What have we done so far, ladies and gentlemen? It said that when SAFTA was formed 2 years ago, like we're now going into our third year, we engaged the Sugar Association, SAFTA, that allow us to participate. We wrote to them, which we failed. They never allowed us. They said they can't do it. In fact, when we engaged the South African Cane Growers Association and indicated that we want to have our own voice, they told us we will not allow you because we are the biggest levy payers in this industry, and therefore he who pays the piper calls the tune. I think that's the attitude that I want to put across, if you understand. We are dealing with an industry that says those that are paying less in the industry cannot have a voice. That means that in this dispensation, democratic dispensation, we are still living with that kind of an attitude. And the sad thing is, it's allowed in South Africa that we are living in. It, it, it's painful because what we are talking about here is mamas and gogos who put together those sense that the government is helping them to actually farm this cake, and they are disallowed a voice because they are a small lady pair. We've actually gone on a mediation process by the then premier, and he called upon the MECs and engaged the industry and gave them timelines to say that you guys are getting a lot of support from government as an industry. You cannot, it has got to be of a reciprocal nature. You cannot continue as of old. Then when the reshuffling unfortunately happened, they forgot about it. In fact, they are counting on the fact that there's no fire behind them. There's nothing putting pressure, and they are continuing with the business as usual. We went on a march where even mamas also went on buses, you know, to actually march to start up to say, give us this recognition. I mean, that was in August last year. Uh-huh. We looked like fools to them. We just were like pathetic, unfortunately. The DTI and the Millers have kind of facilitated processes to get us to coexist, to get the thinkers to allow for us to coexist. There is, I think, a pack of agreements that we forwarded to the committee that we signed agreements with this organization to say that we can coexist. But they've played a dilly-dallying process with us, and they come back. They would say, after signing with us, they come back and say their members never ratified it.
Just a minute. On those agreements, I just see them in one email. There are about six attachments. Did you get that, Mr. Medina? Did you forward it to all the members? Some of them are not. Did you get yours, Honourable Pichalia? Did you also get yours, Honourable Blamini? Yeah. So we all got it, including staff. Fine, thank you.
So from my side, when a resolution has been taken through a facilitated, funded process by the DTI, these guys sort of renege because they are their own lawmakers in the industry. Worst of all is that even after the DTI had given a directive now through the DTU letter to say, you know, with immediate effect, implement this, SAFDA needs to be recognized. The worst part is that levies are taken from all growers and given to the cane growers association, even though that our membership is no longer their members. Our levies are taken from us and paid over to an organization that no longer represents us. We have been running without our own levies since the formation of SAFDA, and it has actually put SAFDA cash flows at a dire strain, because the reality is without your own funding, you can't run your organization, and we can't double charge our members either, because they are already paying to the other organization. In fact, they were hoping that by now SAFDA would have collapsed and died. But the reality is, because we know the challenges we are faced with, we will persist until we get through to this. And that's why we are appealing to the honourable members here today that help us here. We are talking about a matter of more than 20,000 rural communities, which if this committee can give, you know, effect to this directive, then we will be liberating the rural communities from infliction of a colonialist agenda. We have also written to their internal structures, written to the SAFDA administration. One other thing that I think I must, you know, put across. Cane Growers has actually taken us to courts, saying that they don't want us, they are wanting the courts to interdict us from attending meetings of growers, which their association doesn't allow. They don't want us to exist. Yet they don't want us also to even attend their meetings, because they are still taking our levies. They've instead used our own levies money to take us to court.
I think what you need to do is to try and explain to us, because this is really very exceptional, that you would pay dues to an organisation, you're paying levies, and then you're saying you then can't attend. If you could just explain that to me, because we've had the benefit in Manco of, you know, a few other questions. Just explain that, because it sounds odd.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. If I may just elaborate. After the DG had given a directive that this matter, this recognition of SAFDA, should be implemented with immediate effect, we then wrote to SAFDA to say that, according to the way SAFA, South African Sugar Association, is structured, our members that will attend now their boards and their meetings are so and so. because we are saying that, I mean, after the DG had given a directive, we believe that with immediate effect meant with immediate effect. So when we sent our members to attend those meetings now, because we believe we've been given space, they then took us to court. They take levies from us through SASA, the South African Sugar Association. South African Sugar Association collects levies from all farmers, and they paid over to this organization that we are no longer members of, because they are disallowing us to participate as on our own, and they also continue to take levies because they are using these instruments of the Sugar Industry Agreement as well as the SASA Constitution. So they've taken us to court, in fact they've written to us several letters and saying that we should not act on the DG's directive. They did write to the DG of DGI to say that they will not implement this, the Kingdom's speaking, they will not implement this directive of DG. In fact, they will take the DG to court if he enforces that. Anyway, that shows the arrogance and of the industry we are dealing with. We've written to the SASA Administration Board. Their internal structures have proven to be biased to the current status quo. So it shows that their internal structures have shown that they are biased to the status quo. In fact, we are a laughing stock to some of the members living within SASA. Anyway, we're paying their salaries, but they just don't get it. Here, ladies and gentlemen, it was a march. We had over 2,000 members of SASA marching to SASA. This was last year. In fact, we were hoping, we were planning that we will be taking this march now to the parliament, because our worry was that even after writing, we hadn't received a response, but we have realized where the challenges have been, and we appreciate, Madam Chair, that we've evaded that march.
Ms. Madala, you've got two parties represented here, and I assure you, I don't think there is a member of any party sitting here that is not feeling, why did this happen? A letter in June, July, whatever, and then now. I know there's going to be questions around that, but the most important thing, of course, has been that we did, in fact, finally get hold of that letter. Right?
That to us is, like I'm saying, I would have danced and sung just to show you our appreciation, because this has shown that in Parliament, every South African citizen is equal. So we appreciate it so much, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for coming, and your administration team. Now, we have some kind of a recommendation of a way forward that we would like to zoom into. To us, the implementation of the DG's directive, the enforcement or giving it effect, we believe it lies in the hands of our politicians. The DG has given a directive to the industry. The industry showed him that with their arrogance, they're not interested. We would like for that immediate implementation, as it is of we cannot continue paying levies to an organization that does not represent us. And we cannot continue with the status quo that says it forces participation and it forces associating with those that we are not associating with. An amendment, to ask the second part, is an amendment of the regulation so that the directive of DG can be enshrined in the legal instruments of the industry. Because just giving it effect by forcing it, yet not enshrined in the industry instruments, can be in the following year or in the near future before forfeited as well. It can be forgotten or changed. We would also appeal that if we could get a retrospective, force the SASA and force Kingdoms to pay us back our levies, pay back the money. We are sitting. Because the reality is, it is irrational, it is unethical that, you know, this is thievery, this for me is theft of poor people's money, taken up by, you know, commercial guys, you know, well-established commercial guys. They can fund their own organization, but they are taking that little money that the small-scale farmers are contributing to actually fund their organization, it's sad. And we want to zoom into the review of the payment system of the sugar industry. We cannot allow that a go-go who has only 10 tons to deliver in a season, be paid the same rate as a commercial guy who has got 10,000, 20,000 tons to deliver in a season. Ladies and gentlemen, the way the payment system, they've done this before. I think it was done in the 1992s to 1994, when the political dynamics were showing that, you know, there's liberation coming. They paid the small-scale farmer local market price, meaning that they were getting a premium price. You see, our unfortunately, our industry, the local price is almost double the export price. So what they're doing now is, if we got no exports, we actually supply more than the local market demand, it dilutes the price. They subject that small scale farmer and gogo to that same dilution, to the same diluted price. Yet we are a minority in terms of tonnage, in terms of soy production. So we would hope that this committee takes it forward that the small scale farmer should be paid a local market price, a premium price for that matter, because even their cost structure, as we've seen, shown there, they are running at a loss as we speak. Transformation and beneficiation in the sugar industry, value chain. We cannot have an industry that the black farmers, or the especially the black farmers, do not participate in the agro processing and the downstream value chain opportunities. Right now, our mills, we don't even know who owns them. Others are owned overseas, our sugar mills. And the way the system works is that you are bound and tied to a particular mill by a means of a cane supply agreement. We cannot look at it, we can't even form our own mills. So if that is the case, then there should be a transformation of this industry in that they should at least give slides or shareholding of these mills to our black farmers. And we would also like to ask the committee to help us with tight timelines and monitor that timelines as to the implementation of the APAR, and we will ask that the portfolio committee continues and takes over an oversight role in the implementation of these recommendations. I hope I didn't skip to time, and I really apologize if I've gone unparliamentary in any of my speeches, and I really appreciate for the benefit of SAFDA that today we've actually managed to get the slice of our black people, of our small scale farmers, our emerging farmers, to the parliament. Thank you so much, Madam Chair.
Now, we must thank you, Mr. Maglala, for coming here. Perhaps I know that, having just checked with a few people's eyes, that you have all the same documents that I have, including the agreement, including the letter written by the DTI to Mr. Tim Murray, who's listed here as chairman of the Cane Growers Association. But what I do want to just clarify, you've seen here for the DTI and, of course, the complainant, if you like, the aggrieved person in this particular instance who brought this to our attention. You're not sitting here also with the sugar industry, etc. But remember, all this was at short notice. Once we'd heard this, it would have meant we could have taken three routes. We could have said, okay, well now let's wait, let's ask them, let's do this. What we've done is what we've done sometimes in other cases. We've asked those who actually approached us first with the challenge to say, this is it, get DTI here. We will then give the opportunity, and I've said that as well to the SAFDA, that you'll come here now. DTI will come here now. It'll be up to us to digest this, if I may put it that way. And then to get the other organisations involved and to say, right, what's going on? What exactly is going on? So what we're doing here is still getting information. I must make that clear to anyone that the way our parliament operates is always to get both sides of the story. And if there's three sides, we get three sides of the story. But we're only just at the introductory stage. And I think it's important, particularly as this letter was written June, July, but as I said, I only got it recently myself, that we at least meet with them immediately. And I hope that colleagues in the committee, honourable members, appreciate that we're not taking a final decision today. Any decision we take today will be along the lines of saying, and it will be a position, because they're not six members. Look, you see, there are five members sitting here. invite X, Y, Z along. Do we agree on that approach? So right now, we need to find out what is going on. We fact find. Are we agreed on that, Graham? So the more you can get out from chapter, you promise to come back at another time, that, you know, when we do have everyone, we move on that basis. Can we move on that basis? Right, let's see by show of hands. Unless you want somebody else from your team to offer comments to Mr. Madlala?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you to the Honourable MPs. Maybe just to add and to clarify some of the things that my chairperson has said. I think we need to clarify who the South African Sugar Association is. It's comprised of the millers and the growers. So it's 50% millers and 50% growers. It's an industry which has been allowed to self-regulate. There's nobody within government that actually sits on SASA and ensures that there's fairness in everything that's done. So if one, you know, there's the growers and the millers and they call them sections. If one section doesn't want something to happen, then there's nothing that happens. It's hard to take decisions within SASA. So when we say as a SASA that we would like to gain recognition, if the grower section says no, then it's not going to happen. And that is a really unfortunate situation, but that's how the sugar industry has been operating, and hence the arrogance of the Sugar Association. Now, this is obviously enshrined in law, and hence they have the law on their side. Whether it's just and ethical is a question for another day. Our biggest gripe and our biggest argument is that the sugar industry survives because of the support of government. On an annual basis, I mean, it's a 12 billion rand industry, and the support which government supplies through import tariffs and such is worth to the tune of between 3 and 4 billion rand per annum. Now, we believe that government doesn't support the industry just so that they can make a couple of commercial farmers rich. We believe that government's focus is that they believe that this industry touches the hearts of the poorest of the poor, those in the rural areas and in the rural economies. And so when DTI gives a directive and the sugar industry ignores the directive, it's literally a smack in the face of the person that is supporting it. And, you know, there are so many unjust practices within the sugar industry that we can't get through all of them today. But the reason why we're fighting so hard for recognition is so that we're able to speak in these structures against things like 50-year cane supply agreements. Now, for the benefit of the House, Madam Chair, a cane supply agreement literally means that on this piece of land, you cannot grow anything else except sugarcane, and you cannot take your sugarcane to anybody else except that mill that you have signed the agreement with. There are farmers that will live that will never see through their cane supply agreement. 50 years is a very long time, and a lot of things change. I mean, we've seen environmental changes, which, you know, droughts and things like that. And so if you want to diversify to another crop, you're literally not allowed to. Even if you sell that land, the person who buys it still has to abide by that cane supply agreement. And another example is the Growers Development Fund, which is actually enshrined in the sugar industry agreement. So stuff that had put in, it's one of the laws that says there will be a development fund to assist small-scale growers and emerging farmers.
SAFTA put in an application with the South African Sugar Association to access some of those funds to assist its growers, and the South African Cane Growers Association had also put in at the SAFTA Council, where they have the South African Sugar Association meetings. They discuss these things and deliberate who will get the money. The Cane Growing Association says, no, let's just focus on our application and not on the SAFTA application. The Millers section said, no, we can't do that because we have to look at both and see where the money will go. So they were at odds, and both applications were turned down. And then the Cane Growers Association did is that they actually increased the levies so that they can get that money to use for their own growers. Now, we are no longer part of that association, but we are still subjected to practices like this. And that just, it epitomizes how the industry operates. And if we are not part of it, we can't make those changes, or we can't, you know, we can't lobby for our own people. And lastly, as our chair has said, we are a voluntary association of growers. The South African Cane Growers Association is not. Whether you like it or not, nobody has signed the membership form ever to be a member. You are just automatically assumed. And even when you leave, you can't leave. And, you know, we were told one day to say, go and form your organization, whatever it is, but you'll always be underneath us. Let me leave it there, Madam Chair, because I'm getting quite emotional. Where, Madam Chair?
Well, you know, what you've just said, that you're born into it, so to speak, you know, like colour, if you like, you know. I'm asking you, because I haven't read the Act yet, I have to be honest, I haven't read the Act yet. So my question is not whether this was in the agreement, but whether what you have said is in the Act itself.
It's not explicit in the Act, but it's assumed in the definition.
Let me, because you know other members need to have a chance, so this should be.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I thought I should just throw in a more realistic aspect of the challenges that us as black farmers are sitting with. The reality of the fact is that we live these challenges. We ourselves live these challenges and have once been looked at as one among the farmers that are looked down upon, that are decided for. But because at some point we started to use our voices, you know, SAFTA exists as a voice for the voiceless. We have situations where sometimes it's by default that an old gogo in the rural area who's looking after the grandchildren, either because the husband died, or that husband went to Joburg, Cape Town, Devon to work. Or for any other reason, but she's had to pick up the pieces in order to be able to put a plate for the children. So she doesn't even have the background information as to how it's done, but she gets it done. This means plowing a field. This means fertilizing. Inputs are so expensive. And its economy is such that you know every year it goes up. She makes sure that it's done to up to a point of cutting this cane to submit to a mill. she is more than likely situated 50, 60 kilometers away from the mill. So she has to pay for transport for her mill to get there. But even on that, having done all that, God knows how, because it's not easy. You pay for the workers in the process of that. You must provide all these inputs that are required. You look after your crop, because if you don't, in the rural areas, it becomes a grazing land for cattle around your area. But what happens is once cut and you put it in the zone where the transport is supposed, sometimes it doesn't pitch. Two weeks, 3 weeks down the line, then it's deteriorated. The mill won't want to take it because it's come, you know, that long. So that Gogo or Mama will not be able to see any returns from the money that has spent. And, you know, cane growers know these aspects. And these are the aspects that they flash every time they come to government to say that we have people with those dynamics and we want to try and develop them. But it's something that happens every year. And nobody checks into it. That is, you know, you are in this, you have these numbers that you're suffering last year. What happens now and forever? So those are situations that are as dire that we see to it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members, I know that you've had your hands and you very politely did not jump in. It was yourself, Honourable Ramini, followed by Honourable Pichalia, followed by, let's just go down the line, Honourable Checo and Honourable Monskopi. Please start.
Well, thanks, Chairperson. Let me send the staff for coming through and dealing with these issues. And the truth is that organizations like this, they are being failed by us as parliament and legislators, because we are the lawmakers as well as the executive. Because I want to start with the your observations when you are saying, no, we need to put our work as parliament is to listen to everyone. No, our work as parliament is to legislate, is to pass laws. Because it will be difficult when people, they come and allege that there is a criminal who is stealing my stuff, and then you say, no, let's go and listen to that person if we're a criminal. He's going to come and tell us that, no, I'm not. So for us, what we need to be dealing with, it's a legislation. Because even now, we're sitting here with that act that was signed by Jay Foster in 1979. Already we are just dealing with problems, because those are all things that should have been repealed by this parliament. But it hasn't happened. And even if you look at the letter, that's what I'm saying, even the executive is failing organizations like this, or black business. Even if you look at this letter, years after they're comfortable to say, no, their recommendation is that this letter must be implemented. I'm not comfortable with that. Because if you look at this letter and you read paragraph 3, the letter from the DG, yes, this one, paragraph 3, the second sentence, it says specifically the importance of accommodating black players. When are we in this country going to go and beg white organizations to accommodate black people in business? Why do we need to be accommodated? And we even write to them. This, it goes to Mr. Tim Murray of SA Cane Growers. We thought that they should be on the same level. But the executive is asking the same person to say accommodate black people. We are tired of being accommodated. That's what I'm saying, we're being failed by the executive. And then listen to the following line. It is therefore imperative to allow for the coexistence of the two structures within the framework. It's begging them. We are here as a parliament, we must pass laws to say, we are not going to ask your committee that, no, please, make some space for them. It's not for these other guys to go and be done a favor. Because this letter says, do a favor for them so that they can coexist. No, it's not a favor. They must exist because the law allows them to exist. and they must be given that faith. So the teaching this letter is just wrong. And also he writes this letter not to SASA, which have got a program, chair, that you've got an organization that is supposed to be regulating the industry, but the government is not a stakeholder. So who are the directors? Who are the stakeholders in this industry? So you've got these white established firms sitting there and saying, we are responsible for regulating the industry so that we can make sure that they comply. But these are the same people that government is and someone who's got that duty, that obligation and responsibility to make sure that all of us will comply to the laws. They don't sit in that committee. You, it's sitting somewhere with a private hand to say, go and self-regulate, so that organizations like this, they must never see the daylight. So the issue here is that we must take responsibility. We are failing them. Ourselves as the legislature, ourselves as the executive, we know that we've got a challenge with the executive because bulk of it has been captured, but the parliament, I know for a fact that it's still not captured. So it's us who are supposed to deal with this issue. Take this matter straight to the executive, the DG and the minister to say, first, let's start with SASA. How are they self-regulating? Why are you not a stakeholder, like in all other sectors of the economy, where the government must be sitting there and say, we want to see exactly what is happening. Yeah. So that can be correct. That's why I'm saying I've got a problem with this letter. Because not even written to the so-called regulator. It's written to the same organization that is supposed to be in the same level to say, accommodate black people because they must participate in that space. That cannot be correct. So this letter, I'm not just agreeing with it. I think it must go back to the DG. It's a letter written by a coward. That how do you go and say to someone, they must go and accommodate. We don't want these people to be accommodated. We want them to be respected, and they must be allowed to go and run their own businesses the way they deem fit and the way they see things to be done. So those are the issues, Jefferson, that I would request that we must take actually with the department, that they must come and respond to us. The one of calling SASA, and the other association. I mean, they're going to come here with you. You can call them just as a matter of a workshop or whatever that needs to happen. But the people that we should be dealing with, and that's why they came to Parliament to say, you are the lawmaker. I mean, they've been taken to court with their own fee. That's why they went to court. They failed to sit and reason. Also, we don't know who are the stakeholders, because I'm interested, who sits on SASA, who's part of the board or the committee, where are those people coming from? So those are the issues that I think, Chairperson, from your side, this needs an immediate intervention with the department. If the minister, it needs to first deal as parliament, if we need to deal with that act as well, it must be changed here. We must attend to it. There's an sugar industry agreement that is signed by one association, the other association is not part of that agreement. All those issues, especially those that minister can act on them with immediate effect. He must act with them on with immediate effect. Everyone in this country must be allowed to exist the way they see fit, the way they do fit. We have not even started to speak about the millers, which already is just another cartel of established industries that if you've got a farm, you already, for the fact that you think of planting sugar cane, already you are subjected to some established organization. It cannot be correct. If you want to get into the sugar cane industry, you must, even if you want to plant it so that you can burn it, it's your own problem. It's your own sugar cane. You can do what you want. But this agreement that says, if you plant it, you must automatically bring to my mill, and I'm going to tell you how I'm going to pay you, it's wrong. And laws that were there, even during apartheid, there were laws that says black people must go use this toilet, white people must use this toilet. So if the law is nonsense like this one, it is a nonsensical law, and this parliament must be able to deal with it with immediate effect. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Dlamini, Honourable Kacharia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To build on what you said earlier, Madam Chair, in that, yes, I think in normal procedure, we would follow the out-of-party rule and have the others here. However, there is a sense of urgency predated by a letter which was delivered on the on the fourth month, on the 21st of the 20th of the fourth month of this year, some significant time ago. Now, given that urgency, yes, information must be gathered, but there is a letter here, a letter which says in conclusion that we expect the chairman of the South African Cane Growing Association to implement the following. There was no particular response there too. Now that is problematic in itself, and if the cane growers come here, it will be a question which is addressed to them in more uncertain terms. Why was your voice zipped up? Did you not read the letter? Secondly, again to your point, I think it's clear that the members here are reasonably at even with the sentiments raised. You'd have to be living on another planet not to be, I think it's fair to say. Let me just say that as the DA, I'd like to underscore that and say that we stand for the freedom of association, for your freedom of association and enterprise. Freedom is one of our tenets. We stand for fairness in terms of levies and the payment system. That is one of your requests. And we stand for opportunity, and that is spurred by the implementation of the most reasonable request that you have put forward. This needs to be done in terms of redress. That is absolutely clear. And we need to work out how it is to be done. The letter has been written. One can argue about the semantics of the word accommodation or not, but in any case, it has a particular thrust, which is also speaking to your particular view, which I think we have agreement more or less here with. It is our responsibility to form legislation, to amend legislation, and to push for the implementation thereof. Now, I think we need to do this. And in addition to that, we need to ensure that this is done expeditiously, timeously, and that all of these issues are raised and dealt with. It is further clear to me, on a cursory reading of this, that it is within the purview of the minister's authority to push, to write regulations, to issue regulations for implementation without fear or favor and with due regard to urgency. That must be done. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kachalia, Honorable Tiako.
Thanks, Chair. I want to thank the SAFTA for bringing this into our attention. And there's a lot of information that is not sitting well with me, because there are agreements. When I look at the agreements, you have agreed upon certain things, and there's a letter from the DG. It says the proposal. I think I'll read the second last paragraph. I would like to remind the sugar industry to intend that engagement and support with government as there is a proper level and not one-sided, and trust that you provide the department with a written report on the implementation of the above proposal by the date of April 2017. So we are sitting with an issue here that needs to be resolved. And there's lawmakers, again, as you have presented page 5 of your presentation, it says it was last amended on 5 June 1992. So, and what do we have here? Sugar Industry Agreement 2000. So my approach on this, we might be shooting ourselves somewhere, but we are a parliament, we are a committee that we need to assist here and intervene as urgently as possible, because our people on the ground, those are the ones who are suffering now, and we are here because of them. So I will speak boldly to say, Chair, as a matter of urgency, we need to attend to this matter, bring everybody on board. And it's an urgent matter that needs to be dealt with. If it should, we should be dealt with by the minister concerned. We should refer this matter to the minister to be resolved as soon as possible, because I see there are legal implications even on the agreement itself. So we will also need the legal team to look at the agreement. And I can see there are those who are signed, those who are not signed, and they agreed upon to say 7.2, like parties will jointly form the task team that will undertake the following. 7.2, the parties will be equally represented on the task team. So that's why I said there's a lot of things that we need to get here, and we find all the information. Before the instruction from the DG, if he was not responded to, again, there is another question that we need to find. What happened, and why until now that you are here, you are not assisted? And by you being here, having an opportunity to come to us, what about the people on the ground? So we are here to represent you. As we are lawmakers, we must make sure that this it comes to an end, check. And we need to assist our people. That's why I'm here. That's what I know, why I'm here. So I don't want to comment on things on one side of the story. We need to hear everybody. And it's good that you have brought this to our attention, and we have to make sure that it's resolved as soon as possible. We don't. We need to have a time frame. So though we can't make a decision because we're not forming a quorum, but we need to have a kind of a proposal and to deal with this matter. If we refer it to the relevant office, we have to refer it as soon as possible.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Honourable Tieto, Honourable Van Scalpen.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's actually very unfair for me to comment, being the last person to comment. Because there's a lot that has been covered by my previous colleagues, but I wanted to commend the chairman for dressing up so nicely. We appreciate that. On a lighter note, Chairperson, I share the same sentiments as the previous colleagues of mine, because when I look, there's been agreements, there's been referral in the agreements to task teams being set up, and response dates of task teams to be certain dates, and I'm not sure, maybe you should enlighten us on the implementation of this agreement. If it was done, what happened in terms of this agreement that has been signed in terms of implementation? Then you referred to a court case by the growers towards you, SAFDA. So I'm just interested in where it currently is. Is it still at court? Do you have a ruling on the matter, or what is happening in terms of that? Then my other concern is also in terms of the deadlines in the DG's letter that hasn't been honored, and I'm curious to know what the department did, because it's nice to write a letter and to ask this must be done in whatever, but what is the follow-up procedure? And after you receive, I'm sure you received the copy of this letter also in terms of the implementation, when it reached the 1st of May, what did you do when you saw that nothing happened? Did you write straight to the portfolio committee, or did you alert the department in terms of the what the letters explicitly directed this association to do, and they didn't do. So that's why I'm interested in. There's still a lot that needs to be dealt with, but I think we need to set the base straight before moving forward, because it's now a them and us thing, and I don't want it to be like that, because
We want everyone to be winners. It can't be an industry where transformation is not taking place and we're saying nothing. So that's my baseline. Irrespective of who's having powers and who doesn't have, who's small and who's big and what, but our main objective is to see that the poorest of poor of the poor are developed, and we know there's a lot of incentives and initiatives by the Department of Trade and Industry that's not adhered to. If there's money coming from the Department of Trade and Industry to a certain association, and there's an agreement that stipulates how this money should be redirected or distributed, and it's not being catered for or it's not being implemented, then surely someone must take the blame for it and someone must take the fall for it. It can't be that we distribute money and there's budgets being allocated year after year, BRRR's being allocated, and we don't monitor the implementation of the agreement and see if the money is going where we intend it to be. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Van Schalkwyk. Just to, so that DTI understand when they will be coming in, we want an immediate response to what we have seen from SACTA per se, and then, after that, you will come in with your presentation. Then the committee will have the opportunity, having been clarified on this issue, of then engaging with both of you. Is that clear? So at this point, we're going to be getting the SACTA input in this regard, the responses to what we have heard. Where you can, if you can't, there may be an issue you can't respond to immediately. You can put it in writing to us. Okay.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. I'm an emotional person. I'm a kind of person that when I see that there are people with hearts out there who feel for the people I'm talking about, I really just get caught in those emotions. Because the industry should be the first people to feel for our people. But I really want to appreciate this, Madam Chair. I'm feeling very, very confident that our country is in the right hands. As I'm listening to the MPs speak, I'm really touched, and I'll take this back home in pride that, look, we have a parliament that actually cares for our people. Where are the court cases? Madam Chair, I think, firstly, I was in Cape Town in the Portfolio Committee of BTI's, budget speech that day. I get a call that King has actually served us, been served papers of court, that we are not to attend their meeting, a meeting of growers in Amatiguru. We are not the court, they want the court to give judgment that we must not attend. Secondly, we cannot enforce the DG's directive of actually claiming our space. And thirdly, we must pay the seeking court that we must pay for those legal fees of that. We had to run around to get an advocate to actually, because the matter was in the High Court. We had to run around to get advocates, and fortunately we grabbed one, and they were sympathetic to our cause. We put papers together, we went to court. The court ruling was that they said we shouldn't attend, but also they said we shouldn't disrupt the meeting. So the ruling said we will not stop the farmers to attend, they must attend, but we will ask the staff that does not disrupt the meeting. And we will also, the issue of the legal fees, the court actually held that they didn't give a ruling on that one. In any case, we have never disrupted any of the meetings. We've been into meetings, but that day, our farmers went there, there were police, there were security company locking up, they didn't even attend, they couldn't even enter that meeting. It was quite a painful scenario. But anyway, the court actually gave a ruling that we must not disrupt anything, but didn't say we must not attend. Anyway, that part has been left, because we still have to respond, even with our response being affidavit to the court, but the court didn't actually give any deadlines for us to come back. But the reality is that meeting went past, and we did nothing to actually upset the meeting or disrupt the meeting. But our farmers, that day, were blocked by the police. We just left it at that. The deadlines to the DG's letter, Madam Chair, even when the DG's letter came, you know, we thought a deadline was that with immediate effect. That letter just came late with immediate effect. In fact, the following day after we had received the DG's letter, we wrote to SASA that now, from now on, our delegates will be these ones that will sit in these meetings. SASA responded to us saying that they will not implement that. They will not allow us. They will not implement that. The very same SASA, that's why we are saying there is a lot of bias. The very same SASA enjoys the status quo. In fact, they even wrote to the DG that they are dealing with the matter. You know, they've been saying to the DG that they're dealing internally with the matter. We wrote to the DG to say that we haven't received any response. And these guys have taken an interest in that letter. In fact, they looked at a technicality that there are some laws assisting that are actually allowing them, those regulations that is the sugar industry agreement and the SASA constitution actually allow them to continue the way they are. So the reality is we have exhausted all internal processes within the industry. The reality is there's no willingness. Even after DTI has spent money, we said to them, in fact, the response is clear that directive actually tabulates that the DTI has spent time and money on this, so this must be implemented now. So from my side, it's only this, our last resort was Parliament, because we can't live and be subjected to an apartheid system when we've been liberated, when we have a constitution that allows freedom of association. The reality is, they were hoping that by this time, this SASA would have died with natural death, because without the money, without the funds, they are just happy, they're hoping that we will collapse, we will die.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're funding ourselves, we're funding our own offices, we are currently, you know, even coming here, we do put our little sense and hands together to make sure that our case is here. In fact, we would have funded the march, we would have funded buses. That's what we tried to do to get this message across. So, from our side, we believe that we've done everything. We've responded with the timelines. We say, DG, there are timelines here. There's nothing happening. Unfortunately, there hasn't been now another response to say this is how we enforce it. That is what I'm saying. The letter to me might have come as a directive, but there was nothing to enforce that directive. So.
As I said, members, you remember what I said, well, DTI will come in at this point. You've heard the briefing we have received, and after that, the question, and then you've heard the responses that we now have. So I know Mr. Zakorda, the DEG here of SEZ and Economic Transformation, I'm hoping you will be in a position to deal with your input to us from DTI. There's a presentation. Will you be able to do that now, please? And then we will continue a double engagement.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. Good afternoon. Yes, here we have two divisions, Chairperson. I'm responsible for special economic zones and economic transformation. I have my colleague there who come from the industrial development division, who are responsible for the policy and the regulations. So they will be making a presentation. But just to make a short comment, I think the honorable members are spot on in terms of what needs to be done here. You know, the issue of the legislative framework that is there has to be amended. But, you know, it is a general policy of the Department of Government that when we do this, we involve all the stakeholders.
Yeah.
In fact, we give stakeholders in the industry a chance to work issues out themselves and not impose the government, you know, regulation after regulation. We have to also take into cognizance that as the BBBE Act provides, that some sectors will not follow the generic codes in terms of complying with the BEE law, but they will develop their own sector codes. And the Agri-BEE in which this industry will fall, they have been developing their own sector code, which is now in front of the minister for the minister to approve. And I just hope that the members of SAFSA were involved in that process, because really it's a sector process. It's driven by the sector, by all the stakeholders in the sector. If they were not involved, maybe they can advise the committee members here, so that we deal with that process before the sector code is approved by the minister and his colleagues in cabinet. I thought I will give those few words before my colleagues do the presentation.
Thank you very much, DDG. And then the member actually making the presentation, is that the chief director? Thank you so much, of IDD Agri-Processing Unit, that's Ms. Makata Plani.
Thank you, Chair and members, and with our stakeholders, and a very good afternoon once again. I'll be making presentation on behalf of the Department of Trade and Industry in response to the issues or recommendations that have been made by the South African Farmers Development Association. Once again, my name is Mimi Kodelia. Yes, Mimi Kodelia Mugazam Sauli. I'm the new chief director for agro-processing and forestry-based industries. I'm just a few months old at DTI. I would like first to start by saying we've taken note of the concerns, serious concerns, by the way, from the South African Farmers Development Association. And as a new person, I think at DTI, I am trying my level best to hit the ground running. I also had an informal discussion with the executive chairman, Member Makala, regarding all the issues that have been raised prior even this meeting. We've been talking over yesterday and even this morning to try and look at some of the issues which are still burning in terms of, you know, trying to transform the agricultural sector, more importantly, to try and make sure that farmers, they get participation in the mainstream economy, especially on the value chain opportunities that have been presented there. And I think also, I'll try to be as short as possible, Madam Chair, looking at my experience, because I've been working for the Department of Agriculture for quite some time, various departments of agriculture, to say that when you look at our farmers, we know that is the most vulnerable group that needs to be supported at all, in most instances. And when you look at the large players, we know for a fact that that is where we need to put our efforts to make sure that they support the new guys, they support the new entrants, they support the small guys, so that they are able to benefit to the economy of this country. Not looking at, you know, what happened before 1994, but those are the issues that we need to take into consideration in order to improve our structure of our economy, especially when we look at the agriculture. And when you look at the agro-processing sector, for now you are looking at almost 90% of the sector is privately owned, unfortunately. It's in the white companies, which is the biggest challenge that we are faced with in terms of the transformation of the agricultural sector. And coming to the presentation, I will just quickly focus on the problem statement, which already I think Member Magala has talked about, which I will just reiterate on some of the issues. I'll also touch on the production issues as well as the price trend, and also to look at the, because the mandate in terms of the farmer development does not only lie with DTI, it also lies with other departments, which I will indicate their role in terms of the sugar industry. And also I'll also look at what actions have we put in place in terms of addressing some of, you know, issues that I can say is history of the sector, and how we can best make sure that our, you know, farmers, they are able to participate, and more importantly, I think the legislation is able to respond to the challenges that we face. as a way of introduction, that here today we are talking about the sugar industry, which is one of the industries, unfortunately, that has not been deregulated. It's the only industry, by the way, in terms of the agricultural marketing, but that has not been deregulated. You will see all other, you know, boards with deregulated through the National Agricultural Marketing Act of 1976. But this industry, it has not been deregulated, unfortunately, due to a number of reasons. But I think the Act is what governs this industry currently. And then the SASA is mandated to oversee the operations of the sugar industry and has to report to the Minister of Trade and Industry. The Act we talk about here is the Act of Act 9 of 1978. And in terms of the Act, you are looking at two associations, which is the South African Cane Growers Association, as well as the Sugar Millers Association. And I think my assumption would be SAFDA is supposed to be part of a South African Cane Growers Association, because they are part of the primary value chain in terms of the activities that SAFDA is involved in. But at the same time, in terms of the beneficiation, they should be involved in that regard, which has been, I think, reiterated to say they also want to participate in the beneficiation part, including the mills that are there, which I think we all agree in that regard. Just to reiterate the statement also from SASA, to say that black farmers, although since the repeal of the 1936 Sugar Act, in 1978, are no longer illegal, they are still treated as second-class citizens by South African Sugar Association. I can't agree more on that. That really, I think it's a concern for all of us, as well as the DG, is very much concerned about the issue. So we fully agree that the industry is still, at the moment, untransformed. And I think also not only in terms of the sugar industry, quite a number of industries that we're pushing for transformation. When we met with DG 3 weeks ago, we met with SASA. That's one of the issues that DG talked about, say we need to make sure that this industry, they present transformation plans to us, commitment, including the poultry industry, the sugar industry. If there's no transformation plan, unfortunately, we are going to be very hesitant to support those industries. Member Magala and the team and the chair, that we really want to make sure transformation takes place. Otherwise, our policies, this is like it, we are not enforcing implementation there. I cannot agree more again declining the sugarcane production due to a number of reasons. One of them is the climate change, it's the weather conditions, and then the cost of doing business is another issue that the industry is forcing, like is faced with. The issue of electricity, which is a big problem. Water issue is a big problem in the industry. Hence, you see a lot of decline. And then, I think more importantly, the issue of market, which is a big problem. And especially if you look at the issues of the prices of commodities, which have been declining in a number of months due to the economic conditions. Diminishing profitability of the growing cane in terms of the input cost versus the financial returns and limited capital availability, which is a big challenge. The withdrawal of cane supply support traditionally provided by sugar milling companies that we've seen over years that in terms of the support, the milling companies to support the small growers, they are, you know, there's some kind of you know, decline there in terms of providing support to the growers. In terms of the cane producing areas, we are looking at currently areas around Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Mpumalanga. That's where you see high levels of cane production. And then I think SAFDA also has indicated the decline in terms of the registered cane growers. Now we are sitting at almost 21,000. I think the numbers have even dropped now to 15,000. If we still have 15,000, I think the numbers have even went down to 15,000. But I think what we see, the six sugar millers are also some of the existing companies that are still there, and they own some of the sugar estates, which represent almost 7% of the sugar cane growers. This is basically the indication in terms of the production trend, which I've indicated earlier on, that you will see a decline there in terms of the volumes of production, but there was, you know, a doubling of the production from 1994 to 2003, but again decline in 2012 up until now. We've seen a decline in terms of production. And then also number of reasons that I've indicated earlier on, drought issues are the biggest challenge that is faced with this industry. I must also indicate, Chair and members, that one of the issues that we are pushing together with the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is the diversification, because of the fact that there are quite a number of binding constraints that the industry is faced with. So to look at only one commodity is going to have, you know, long-term implications in terms of the productivity as well as the profitability. We've started to work with NT in terms of looking at diversification, not only to focus on the sugar cane, but to also focus on the soya, to focus on other commodities or crops like your sunflower, etc., so that we are able to minimize the risk, working very closely with the Department of Rural Development as well as DAM, to make sure that we increase the production level. This is basically what I was talking about earlier on, that there's a need for support in terms of agriculture farms, especially those that are involved in the sugarcane production, in terms of the critical infrastructure program. But more importantly, I think our actions here, we are focusing on the issues of equipment for agro-processing, hence we have launched the agro-processing incentive scheme. The applications are closed on the 31st of Jan. Mainly here we are looking at the small businesses that are participating in the value chain, different value chains. There's 1 billion already that has been approved by the Parliament to support the small industries or small businesses that are involved in the agro-processing as well as the value-adding activities. But I think more importantly to look at the bulk infrastructure like the water and electricity is one of the issues that we're supporting in terms of the critical infrastructure program, which is another incentive program of the DCI. Again, more importantly, we've seen the cost of production, especially the input cost like the fertilizer and transport. I think SAFRA has talked about how it is difficult to move the cane from the farm to the mill, which is a big challenge. But I must also indicate that the agreement caters for such things, that there must be transport provision to move the cane from the farm to the mill in terms of the agreement. So those are some of the issues that we want to engage SAFRA on, especially the sugarcane growers association, because that is a big cost that farmers are faced with. The issue of water and electricity, I think, is a general issue that also the industry is facing. I think we are looking at this, working very closely with the provinces as well as municipalities. What we are also proposing is to say that when you look at the domestic market, there are opportunities, but one can also look at the alternate market in terms of you know, exporting the sugar. We've seen that Botswana, for example, is importing almost $40 million of sugar. Algeria also is one of the countries that is importing quite a lot of sugar cane, Nigeria as well as Tanzania. So we have started together with the Trade and Investment of South Africa a program to look at a promotion of exports, but more importantly, to look at those countries that are importing quite a lot from a fertilization point of view. Because it's easy in terms of you know, bringing the product, in terms of logistics, etc., within the sector. So the issue of regionalization becomes very important in terms of export promotion. So those are some of the areas that we are looking at, or countries that we are looking at as alternate markets in terms of exporting our sugar cane. Not forgetting also the EU as well as the Middle East countries. Just to quickly respond, although my response is at a high level, because I'm trying to also give the opportunity to the Minister as well as the DG when they come to the committee to also explain some of the details in terms of, you know, the concerns that have been raised. I'm very much worried, Chair, must indicate that I'm very much worried, and I'm really trying to put my head on the block to say these matters are going to be resolved. I'm not saying that I've got all the powers, but I'm trying to work very closely with SAFDA as well as the DG to make sure that these matters, because some of the matters are very simple, they can be addressed if we work very closely with the industry, with the association. We have a meeting with them, we keep on pushing them with some of the issues. The first issue is around immediate implementation of the DG's directive. I think I must indicate that the DG is in support that the subject, they must get access to the resources, especially on those levels. All other industries or sectors, or if you look at the wheat now, they are getting access to the levies, but are they through the NAMC? So I'm saying even this one, I think it's a matter of, you know, pushing the buffer, especially the cane growers, to make sure that buffer has got access to this. That is my personal opinion on this matter. Hence, we are engaging our legal services now that they have refused to say what other course of action can we undertake in this matter. Because they must give them access. They are paying. It's their money. They must be able to give them access to those levies so that they are able to be empowered, especially the poorest of the poor in that regard. So legal services is involved, and I've indicated that to Member Majala that after this meeting we are going to meet with our DTI legal services to look at this matter, so that that letter that is written by the DTI is implemented by FASA without any delay. The amendment of the regulation by DTI Minister to open up participation in the sugar industry structure, and I think in terms of the sugar industry agreement, I think there is a clause that allows that, I think section 34, which says that they must allow for open membership, especially for those farmers or stakeholders that are involved in the industry. So hence it's important that in terms of the regulation, there must be amendment and there must be clause that is related to that. So we want to work very closely with the Office of the Minister to advise in that regard, because the agreement actually caters for such things to say that there must be a participation from the cane growers in that regard, but it has to be done through the amendment of the regulation at this point in time. Because if you remember very well that we talk about only two associations now, which is the cane growers and the miller, FASTA is not actually a member of the FASTA at this point in time, which is one of the issues that we need to enforce in terms of the regulation. The issue of levies, I've touched on this. But I think, Madam Chair, you have indicated that it is important that we get the cane growers association as well as FASA to address this matter. I don't want to assume that they don't, you know, want to basically support this. But I think also to get their side of the story on this matter would be very important. Hence, I think as DTI, we want to arrange a meeting so that we can get an understanding as to why they don't want to give them access to the meeting that they are paying on a monthly basis, especially their members. So we are going to have an urgent meeting to look at this matter. But more important, I think also we want to request also the portfolio committee to assist us in that matter, because this is a very important matter, which I think the members of staff that they are quite worried about. The next issue is around review the payment system of the SA sugar industry to effect premium payment for emerging farmers based on local market. I think it's another issue that we'll deal with, because all the prices that we see in terms of the sugar cane, they are based on the dollar-based reference price. And time and again, we see reviews in terms of the prices. So they need to be aligned to the global prices. IMA will actually dwell more around those issues if you would like us to look at that. But I think their prices must be given at any given point in time. They cannot be given a certain price which is outside the dollar-based reference price, which has already been agreed upon from a global point of view. Transformation and verification, the SA sugar industry revolution. I must indicate that DG is running with this program. When I met with him, he was very clear to say that we need to make sure that all these agricultural industries, they are transformed. So there is already a plan in place. I think there's a meeting that has been arranged in October to meet with the South African Sugar Association, especially the industry there, to look at the transformation issue, any commitment, any plan to make sure that they transform the sector. But not only this, and also other industries like the poultry, etc. So we want to push transformation and empowerment. Otherwise, we are going to see the same structure of the economy, you know, in the next decade. We want to make sure that we change the structure of our economy so that our black farmers, our black people, are able to participate in the economy. Timelines, I think this is very urgent. I must indicate that we were treating this matter as urgent as much as we can, that we address all the issues that are being raised by SAFTA without any delay, hoping by at least by end of this financial year we'd have moved to some of the issues, and as I've indicated earlier on that already there's work in progress in some of the issues, and as a, I think as a new person at DTI, I also want to make sure that we have, you know, tasks that are going to bring both parties together with the SAFTA and the SAFTA on a regular basis, and we'll be able to give a report to the DG as well as the minister as and when it's required. So in short, I must indicate that we are quite worried about all the inequalities that we see declining, the small-scale farmers in terms of participation in the sugar industry, access to the norms by small farmers. But I think also more importantly, we want to enforce the DG directive in terms of what the sugarcane growers have to do. And then also, I think also the call around the Federation of Growers, I think it's one issue that we want to look at in terms of the Act itself. And then also more importantly, the blockages that have been indicated earlier on by the SAFTA, that we want to make sure that we unblock all the constraints or challenges that they are faced with on a day-to-day basis. So it's one of my priority areas to make sure that we work very closely with SAFTA, and my office is open 24 hours to engage on these matters on a day-to-day basis up until we get solutions to the matter. Because I must indicate that SAFTA, as well as Cane Growers Association, they are willing to engage in some of the issues. No, I don't have a problem with that, as long as it's important. Thank you so much. Yeah, I thank you. I'm hoping that I've covered all the issues.
I'll look at your team. Perhaps they want to just reserve their position until the questions come, and then, as you say, the team can respond. Right. Honourable Kechalia, Honourable Van Stalfbeek, Honourable Tierko, Honourable Dlamini.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. After listening to various stats on market trends, etc., etc., and listening to various proclamations of intent and indications about what one will do. Frankly, this is, I'm sorry to say, and maybe this is an opportunity for you, Deputy, to having come in recently, to place your mark on this and deal with it expeditiously, because it hasn't been. This is blah, blah, woof, woof. And really, it pays lip service, talks about timelines. A timeline is not we want the timeline. A timeline is a timeline. That's what it is. What we need to do, you spoke about having met with SAFTA. Why wasn't SAFTA invited to that meeting? If that's the example being set ab initio, how do we proceed? In fairness and equality, it's quite off the wall. I'm come down to the final proposal here, which is the DEI has proposed yet another follow-up meeting between SAFTA and SADCA, focusing on the future development of the sugar industry. Not focusing on the future development of the industry, it's on dealing with the particular problems which exist currently. And with that in mind, I would like to propose that one, the minister applies his mind in the absence of the timeliest reply from SADCA to the letter of 24. That the minister applies his mind in the absence of a timeliest reply from SADCA to the letter of 24.17 from DTI to the issuance. He applies his mind to the issuance of amending regulations to give effect to the recommendations contained in the said letter, with additional regard to SAFTA's proposals and concerns. Two, that this is done. I'll give it to you afterwards. That this is done expeditiously, and given SAFTA's non-response to date, that they are required to respond within 7 days hereof. Three, that the necessary legal and other party and ancillary information is gathered with urgency. Four, that this committee is advised within 14 days hereof of progress in this regard. And five, that the above notes that the above is well within the purview of the minister's scope of actions to implement an issue.
Now, thank you very much. We would welcome just a copy of that for our staff up here at some point. That would be very, very helpful. Yes, and we'll run to help
think. A note with yourself, please. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have to pick my words cautiously now. I would like to thank the DTI for the response and the commitment that the new incumbent is showing. Actually, really, it can't be a tick box exercise. It can't be a talk show anymore. We need action urgently. And if you refer to timelines and you say that by the end of the financial year, it will be sorted out, it's not on for me. We need urgent intervention. If you are not able as the officials to handle this with the urgency that it needs, I think it should be alleviated to the ministry, which has the powers to intervene immediately. We can't be in a position where we have our people suffering on the ground and we are talking about May 2018. It can't be correct. It can't be business as usual as it went out on with this particular matter. We know that urgent interventions can be made. So I would like to propose, I'm seconding some of the recommendations made by Honorable Kachalia, but mainly in the main, I propose that urgent intervention should be made by the ministry in this regard. Because surely if we look at legal services giving advice on the matter, it's not on for me, Chairperson. It can't be like that. There must be legal grounds to implement what the agreements already been made. And I just have a concern, Chairperson, that this issue of arranging meetings again and again and again, it's just going to be talk shows, because already there's been an arrogance towards this matter. Because why are you going to a meeting, sign an agreement, and you don't enforce it, don't implement that agreement that you've signed? It's already showing me some kind of disrespect towards the people that you are engaging with. So it can't be business as usual. Also, in terms of when we talk about implementation, we need to have in writing monthly reports on this matter, so that when, at least when we leave at the end of November on recess, we know that something substantial has been done in terms of addressing this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hans-Golfe. Honourable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think my first motive was to thank when I spoke to SASCA. The department must assist us here. As much as the intervention is there, it's going on, but the financial year is not on. We can't wait until next year. So as much as I understand that you are new and you are on board, so because the DDG, because it's here, can we give you a timeline, at least, to say, we need this by next week at least, a response on how are you going to deal with this matter. Second is the office of the minister should be informed about this process again, and the intervention that should take place also on this matter. You can deal with your administrative part, but the political part should be on.
we should take this process parallel now. Then when we receive information from the office of the minister, the legal side, and yourself, and come and report to us, this is how far we are. So it means every week we'll meet with you, DDG, and you come and give us a report to say this is how far we are with them. I think the proposal number 3 of Kaishalia, that's what also I'll support.
Thank you very much, Honourable
Glenn. Oh, thanks, Chairperson. You know, Chair, one of the characteristics of a failing state is when you got ordinary citizens are complaining. The legislation is complaining. The executive is complaining. All of us are concerned about what? Because someone else has to act on this issue. If the ministry, the department is going to come and say we are concerned, this and this, so who's going to do what here? It can't work like that. A year the DDG is telling us about the industry, the self-regulation, but you're allowing these bullies, they've been there and doing the same thing. Do you really expect that someone that is saying go and self-regulate, go and look after yourself, they're going to create a space? This is business. I mean, I don't know if it is. Maybe that's where we need to take this thing to. This is business. It's competition in terms of making sales and doing business. And we are saying as the ministry, no, go and sort yourself outside with the people that want to contest you in terms of business. This is just a simple business competition. The people, they want to be in business, this one, but the people, someone is supposed to be a referee here, someone is supposed to regulate and create laws. If someone who doesn't want to get involved, you take that responsibility. You give it to the same bullies to say, no, go and manage yourselves. It's not going to happen, DDG, I can tell you now. Another 20 years we'll be sitting with the same story. It's not possible. It's just not doable that you can tell me that when someone wants to challenge me and then you say, I must be in charge of the rules of that same day. You are the one who's supposed to be in charge of those rules, and then you deal with those issues. So it can't be a situation where SASA issue and how it's structured, it must be looked at with immediate effect, because that's where the problem is. This cane growers, I hear the Miss, I forgot your name, but I hear your presentation, you are saying the staff that they must be part of the cane growers, that is not the way. They don't want to be part of it. So that proposal is wrong. They don't want to be part of it. And also, you even go and say, you don't think they don't want to comply. What evidence, what more evidence do you need? The letter is in front of you. So you can't assume that cane growers, they don't want to comply, SASA, they don't want to comply. The evidence is in front of you. There's an agreement, there's a letter from your DG. They don't want to comply. So it's no longer a speculation or an assumption that they don't want to comply. It's very perfect. It must be attended to. You know, the chairperson said one of the duties of this department is not just to deal with the issue of trade and industry, but to deal with jobs. They say in the year 2000 there were 50,000 cane growers. We're just talking of companies here. With people that are employed, today we are sitting at less than 20,000. So people are losing jobs when we are busy with doing sketches and doing things that we don't know what is happening. Because that is the people that are affected on the issues that we are dealing with. So we don't have time to be dealing with having unnecessary meetings. And those meetings, they're going to go back to the same issue. The minister, according to the powers and the laws that are given to him, he must be able to attend to that industry agreement with immediate effect. If there's an issue that needs to deal with the air, that's why my proposal to the committee that maybe something that we must take it to the National Assembly to say the act that is currently at play in this industry is not for our people, because the facts are in front of us. So I don't know, there's no more fact-finding mission on this issue. It's just that we have to take decisions. So then, because if we're going to keep on having this meeting that you're proposing, I don't know what you want to meet, cane growers association, and also even to say let them come together and have a meeting. No, they told you straight, we don't want to be part of them. So what is the meeting about?
to do it. They told you, no, within our constitution we've got a right of association and the right of representation. So we don't want to be brought to this one to say we want to be part of that. They don't want to have that meeting. As a government, you are the one supposed to intervene and say, because that's the duty of a state, is to make sure that there is a proper and a systematic way where all citizens are going to live, including business. That's what we should be focusing on. Not meetings of that you must come and intervene on business meetings. Let's set the rules, let's implement the law, and let everyone else go and do that. That's all they're asking. Level the playing field, because the thing they are, the playing fields are not level. So the issue of those meetings, they're not necessary. But the big issue here is that people are losing jobs every day. And it's something that we cannot postpone. We are sitting with a country that is sitting at 27% unemployment. And some of these things are just self-inflicted by us as the executive. So we must go and attend to these issues. That's why I'm saying, when I was trying to follow the slides that you were doing here and presenting, most of it you were complaining yourself as the executive. So I'm thinking, then who must intervene here? If we yourself are going to complain, we must look for a fourth party to come and help us. So you must go in there and tell those bullies that they must stop bullying our black people. Otherwise, we'll join them in those marching lines to stop those operations, if they don't want to listen. They must stop bullying our black people. These people, they buy these farms, they do everything correct. And then they must be bullied, they must go and beg. And that's why that letter said is written by Kawan. Because the reason they're even arrogant to the DG, because they realize that this one who's writing us is asking that we must, in South Africa, 23 years later, we must accommodate black people. If the coward was writing that, you must tell him that he must stop. That is why these ones are arrogant. They say it's not going to happen. You can get the response from SASA. They're saying that letter, there's nothing the minister is going to do. So it's, I don't know what kind of everything that we need. They're saying straight. There is nothing the minister or the DG or anyone they're going to do. This is our country. We make our own laws. As the sugar industry, it ends there. So an intervention must be made with immediate effect, DDG. Let's go and attend to these issues and teach the police the lesson. Thanks.
Honorable Dlamini, I think that the issue before us is in fact very serious, which is why no doubt when one sees issues such as the word accommodate, it almost immediately lends itself to a very expressive adjective. But perhaps I wouldn't say that the DG is a coward, but rather to advise him that in our opinion as a committee, we don't think we should be accommodating anything, but rather implementing the law. I think that's probably in that context that we would be expressing that. But it's just, you can hear, DEG, that the committee, in fact, I don't know when last, staff will tell me up here, when last we just put this on an agenda within a 2-day notice issue. It's not the way we normally do things, as everyone knows. But when we've got this information, which I did earlier this week, we got the letter on Tuesday or whatever it was, we said immediately to Manco it will go, and then this is what will happen today. But I think the fact that the DTI were only told yesterday, I want you down here today because of this, does indicate whatever may have been the context, there is a change within that context, that people are indeed perhaps rethinking I'm hoping, and I know hope, unfortunately, these days doesn't seem to drive too much. The reality is, I thought that your actions by coming here today at the very shortest of notice was some indication that you are prepared to change the way you are responding to this crisis. I regard this as a crisis. In fact, I'm at fault myself. I study what is our mandate every year, and perhaps all of us do this. But somehow I overlook the fact that there's this old piece of legislation on our books. Honestly, it is. And certainly in no one really highlighted it to me, that by the way, there's some legislation that's been here since 1978 with a little bit of a cane growers thing, or was it 1992? But I don't think the act has been changed since 1978, you see. And then there's a sugar industry agreement within the act, remember. So I think that often we get caught up in what is just happening now. Like there's the copyright, there's the performers, oh yes, debt relief, and then everything else disappears from the radar screen. And that is regrettably what does happen. But it's a dangerous thing, because it means you're actually driven by crisis and not plan, if that makes, you know. And you shouldn't be in that. When you're driven by crisis, you're not sitting back. I mean, this year, and this term so far, each time we've tried to raise the issue of a committee workshop to study our strategy, members aren't available. And you all know that. You're not available to do that on a Saturday. No one is. Yet in every previous term in Parliament, committees have held workshops about their strategy on a Saturday and a Sunday. Not this term. Now, when we do that, we will continue to respond in crisis mode. And I think the sugar issue here helps us all to sit back and say, when I say sit back, I don't mean to sit back because it seems you do nothing, but to reflect, that's really what I mean. To reflect and say, there isn't anybody sitting in this room who's not at fault and who's not contributed, including me as the chair, members sitting here representing their party, also the DTI sitting there, and dare I say SAFTA, because it was by good fortune that this was brought to my attention again, because everyone assumes electronics never fail, never. There's no such thing as a failed electronics email. But it does happen. It does. And when someone doesn't respond, there's a need to send another email, you know, just in case, or to check with someone. So all of us here, having said that we are all at fault, how do we put this right? Now, I actually think we've got a lot of solid information coming from here. We have Honourable Dlamini immediately asking and pointing us in a direction that says, oh, look here, man. It's not a talk shop or words to that effect. We ought to legislate. This, we are here to legislate. That is our primary function. Related to that, on the other side of the coin, is to exercise oversight on what? On the implementation of the legislation. Now, we have failed in that primary responsibility. But having failed on this occasion, we are saying we've asked the DTI to do certain things, and I just want whichever one of you, Mr. Medema or Mr. Sheldon, who took down what the Honourable Kichania said? Okay, and look at it. So we got your point made very clearly. You were also of the opinion, as I think it was clearly spelled out, Honourable Dlamini, that this cannot be allowed to wait. Something must be done now. And now we understand it's not Saturday, Sunday, but rather we'll give you a week. I think a week is long enough. It's long enough for you to communicate with your principal and to say the committee is not accepting this. It is not accepting. We need to get some action. I mean, you know, for this to get on the front pages, and God knows how many marches we'll have. Can I just hear what Honourable Kichalia has said here? Now, he has said here that in the absence of a Timmy's reply, etc., etc., and the issuance of amendments to give effect. So what he's saying is that by the 20th of, not the 20th, you're looking at the issuance of amended regulations to give effect to the recommendations, factors, and also its concerns. Looking at the non-response, etc., that we request that the continued delay that's going on. And the letter was written as a copy only to SASA, not, you know, initially as the primary letter. The second point here made is the legal and other information. We need to gather that as a committee with urgency. And then 14 days, we need some sort of progress report. But we've already said we want a response within 7 days. So that's the South African Cane Growers Association. And then from yourself, the CTI response. Honourable Van Skalkwyk emphasised the concern she has over the way the matter's been handled all over. And I think I won't repeat what she said about everything, but the issue was that this is a labour issue, this is a workers' issue, and it is affecting workers on the one hand. On the other hand, we basically, tacitly allowing an apartheid situation to continue by not doing anything or not doing sufficient. The fact that this is going on and on, never ever in the term that I have been the chairperson, which is in the previous term and now, have I heard this issue raised by anyone in DTI. Never. Now that's got to tell us, first of all, I understand you were only established though in 2016. That was in this term, you see? And perhaps the reason you established yourself was because you felt marginalized within the broader structure. So we're looking at an entity established 2015 that the BT took cognizance of in 2016, more specifically, trying to deal with the matter. But I think, DTI, what we really need to say is when you knew that your agreement was being flouted, it was being flouted, it is being flouted, now we need a far stronger action to be taken. Or are we saying that the minister cannot take any action? Is the minister powerless? You know, we need to know. It could be that that earlier legislation makes the minister powerless. How do we empower the minister? So, it may be a little unfair for you to shoot from the hip here, DDG, because I think you want to look at the legal issues here and say, what powers does the minister have in respect of this legislation? I hope I'm making myself clear. And when you've done that, to go and advise the minister, look, you know, this act needs you to do X. So I think isn't that more or less where we are? So let's be reasonable. In a week we want to get some information here. We need to get certain information ourselves. I hope that's clear. But within 2 weeks, I'm looking at the program that you can see it's now starting to get red on it. That tells you a big problem. And I'll look at 2 weeks from today. Today is what, the 12th? So we're looking at the 25th or so. The 25th is a Wednesday. All right? The Wednesday, 26th October. Well, I mean, it's the week, yeah, 25th. And at that time, we're looking at debt relief, debt relief, debt relief. On the Thursday, we're looking at the adoption of the committee bill dealing with debt relief, etc. And on Friday the 27th, we've got outstanding decisions on bills, but that red line shows there may be an opportunity at that point for us to say to you, we want this information back right here in this committee by Friday the 27th. I will not be here from the 8th onwards, and I'm returning on the Tuesday the 7th. When I say that, I'm returning on that weekend, but I'll be back in Parliament then. But let me say this. If I'm not here, this committee doesn't stop. Our decision and my approach in this committee is that the committee cannot depend on me to operate. So you'll have an acting chair. So you may be able then to deal with that issue, you know, what we get from yourselves, call you in. At least it will be an opportunity to say, this is what DTI can do. How does that, you know, is that going to be sufficient? And what is the way forward? You could begin to do that from the 31st or so until November the 3rd, Friday, in that week. Is that what we can suggest? And this decision or position, we can't take a decision, we don't have a quorum, but can we take this position to Tuesday to adopt? We have someone just to propose that. Yeah.
Chair, with the amendment, can we take it to Tuesday? The proposal we are agreeing with,
yeah,
it, but we are taking this to the adoption on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, Chair, that also the DTI must come up with the whole information regarding the other structures also that are involved. Not only on the faster part, but also to how did you meet with the others and the report, the full report to us.
All right. But as I say, you're looking at them getting this information Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So I'm saying you must be able to get some information for us, you know. And especially as you said, the Chief Director, you're on a 24-hour, you know. That's what I told you. That's a bit dangerous to tell us that. You see, now we're going to start implementing the new work schedule. But on a more serious note, do you think it is? Seconding it?
I'm seconding the proposal, but also taking into consideration that this 24/7 hour business is against labor laws.
Well, let's speak to unionists, do you think? But are there any objections to taking the position forward? No. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're also going to issue a media release to make it clear where we stand today. And we look forward to engaging again with DTI because this matter is urgent, very, very urgent. To SAFTA itself, we apologize again for apparently ignoring you. But, you know, these now we're speaking with one voice, and we hope you'll be ready to return here in 2 weeks and maybe to send at least one person on Tuesday, when the minister, not minister, but the DTI, and maybe the DG may be able to come down. Okay. On that particular note, members, I want to thank you all for coming at 2 so we could immediately begin to get into this matter. And then, simply to say, I said I wanted to try and finish at 4, it's 4:20 now. I've given you the B triple R here. This is exactly what it says. It's an unedited draft. Don't tell me about grammatical mistakes. Let's get substance. So please tell your party. They know what we've been doing. This is bringing it all together. Start looking at your recommendations. It's sufficient here for recommendations. Conclusions as well. Please, members, don't tell me you haven't had a chance to meet when I know you're meeting every day. Alright, so on that nice note, the meeting is adjourned until Tuesday at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Are you publishing a media release?
Thank you.